Okay. All right. You are actually the live audience, so that I'm not speaking into a camera. I tell you, it's the most difficult thing, if you have the experience, to speak into a camera. And imagine that you're speaking to a lot of people. I've been doing that for a long time, but let me tell you, it is still very, very difficult. So there's no substitute for blood and flesh, life, warm bodies. So today you are providing me with this live audience, but actually behind you or behind the camera, there are thousands of saints. And I hope the word this afternoon would reach them all. So you have a job to do, and that is you have to pray. You're listening on behalf of hundreds of saints, if not thousands. Okay, now, as some of you have heard, this particular fellowship has to do with the Lord's current and up-to-date burden. I would even say direction for the churches in Northern California. And I like this brother's prayer. Increasingly, we should have the consciousness that we are not just many local churches in Northern California, which is the truth. That is the case. But in reality, we are actually one church. God has only one church. The Lord did not say, I will build my churches. The Lord said, I will build my church. So all the local churches in time and space in aggregate actually comprise one single church, and that church is his body, the body of Christ. So it is right for us to be in this region called Northern California, practicing actually the body life, even as one church. This, of course, we are basing such a practice on Acts chapter 9, I believe verse 30, that says the church in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. So one singular church in a very large, in fact, three large regions combined. And you have to believe there were many, many churches. But the word, at least in that particular verse, says one single church. So there you have another angle of looking at things, and that is one church in a kind of a region. And our dear brother Witness Lee had actually promoted that down where I am in Southern California towards the last part of his ministry, actually to be specific, in 1993, about 4 years before he went to be with the Lord. He received from the Lord a particular burden, and that burden is the burden of blending. Today, this is part of our culture. We have seven feasts globally per year, and those were the times, just like the children of Israel of old, who came together according to Jehovah's commandments into one place, and that is in Jerusalem several times a year to keep the feasts before Jehovah. And by doing that, they kept the oneness of Israel by being together in that way. So today, this blending culture is something that we treasure very, very much. I must tell you, in these last 20 years since our brother left, if we did not practice this blending, who knows what would be the condition of the recovery? I can tell you it would not be like what we have now. It will be probably quite scattered, and quite fragmented throughout the earth. So this is a great thing, and so this word today is really not just for San Jose, not even just for South Bay. This is a word for the church in Northern California, all the saints in all the churches. Now, the present burden that the Lord has given to us, this is through much prayer and much consideration, I would even say much fellowship among the brothers, some of the core brothers in this area, representing various churches, is that as the Lord leads in this coming period of time, now we don't know yet exactly how long this would be. That is still in fellowship. But in this next year or in 2 years or somewhere in between, to conduct a training. Now, I know right away all kinds of things are popping up in your head. Training. You have some kind of concept or idea. But I hope that you will not draw a conclusion so quickly or pass a judgment until I'm done. All right? Until I have a chance to share with you exactly what we are, what the burden is, and exactly what we plan to do. Suffice it to say that that this training that I'm talking about is not the same training as the one that we had in 2014 and 2015 and 2016. Even many of you saints, you were not part of that training, but you might have heard that we have something called a special training for elders and responsible ones. And so we had that training on a monthly basis for 2 full years for about 300 brothers gathered from amongst the churches. This training that we're talking about now is not that training. I would even say not that kind of a training. It would be something different. And it would be for all saints, brothers and sisters, new, young, whatever age bracket, and wherever you may be. And I do mean that. All right, to help share this burden, I would like to just read 3 verses to you, and you can at least write down the reference. The first one is a verse that we're all very familiar with, and that would be Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. So let me read. I should read 11 and 12 to complete the thought of this passage. And he himself gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. Of course, here, I think very, very obviously, the focus is on this word perfecting, or the phrase, the perfecting of the saints. With a result, the word unto means there's a result. The perfecting of the saints would result in the work of the ministry carried out by these perfected saints. Okay? But there's a secondary result or a consummate result, and that is the second unto in this verse. Unto the building up of the body of Christ. So ultimately, we're talking about Christ's heart's desire, and that is to build up his own body. But just how is that body built? What is the method or what is the way? That eluded many, many Christians, most Christians in church history, even top Christians, Christian teachers. It eluded them. They did not have a proper view, a proper way to carry that out. But just keeping this in mind, for the perfecting of the saints, for meaning these various gifts in persons given by the head Christ, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds and teachers, all these personal gifts that the head has given to his body, their job is not just to carry out a work according to what God has made them as a gift, like an evangelist, like a prophet, or like a shepherd and a teacher, and that's it. No. The gifts, however great they are, themselves will never build up the body of Christ. Now, that is a very huge and serious statement I just made. The head did give gifts to the body. These, what we call bigger members, these kind of people, over the centuries. And we can name many of them. But according to these two verses, these people, however gifted they are, will not build up the body of Christ. Their job, besides functioning according to their gifts, should be primarily to perfect the saints, the little members, the millions of little members. These gifts are few. So their job is to perfect these many, many saints. And we'll talk about what that means. And then these saints, all the saints actually, who have been perfected by these gifts, they will directly do the work of the ministry. Not just these gifts. We know these gifts. They do the work of the ministry. But now, there is what? There's a multiple of these gifts. In the thousands, in the hundreds of thousands, maybe in the millions, or tens, hundreds of millions over the centuries, these are the ones who would directly go to work. And when they all go to work, and when they all function, then the body of Christ is built up. Do you see this? This is the revelation in the New Testament. Now, there's a verse that maybe we should read now, or I should read now, to complete this thought. And that would be verse 16. Let me read to you, same chapter. Out from whom, that's the head, Christ, all the body, listen, all the body, not just the big members, all right? Not just my, you know, my huge big organs or my limbs, not just the big members, but all the body being somehow joined together, okay, and being knit together. There's a building work going on here. Through, number one, every joint of the rich supply. Now, these joints refer to these gifts in verse 11. All right? I hope you're following me. these evangelists, these apostles, these prophets, and shepherds and teachers. These are the joints. You know, the joints are the, you know what a joint is, right? Between your thigh bone and your leg there. There's a joint there. There's a joint there. And these joints serve the function of connection. They connect. They connect the different parts of the body together. But not only so, they also do a work of supply. Not only they connect, but they actually supply. But it doesn't end there. It says and. This is a huge and. A-N-D. A huge and. And through the operation in the measure of each one part. Now, do you see this? This absolutely corresponds to verse 12 or 11 and 12 that we just read. So you have the joints, who are the larger gifts. But then you have each one part, every single little one part, who what? Who also have a certain measure, spiritual measure, or gift. And with that measure comes a kind of operation, you know, or you can say a kind of function. Together causes the growth of the body, the whole body grows, unto, again, another result, unto the building up of itself in love. Now, I want you to pay attention. Building up of itself. Now, who is building up the body? Well, everyone who knows the Bible will quote Christ. Well, because Christ said, I will build my church. But how is Christ building the church? That is the question. Well, then some people will say, it's through the gifts, these big gifts that God gave to the church. They build the church? No. After reading this, you will say, no. They contribute to the building. They aid the building. They're an important part of that building, but eventually, they don't directly, even they don't directly build up the church, the body. Their work as joints of supply is to connect the saints, is to supply the saints, and then those connected and supply saints are the each one part. These each one parts are what causes the body to grow. Unto the building up of itself. That means the body builds itself up. It's not the head that builds the body. It doesn't sound right. We need to grow up into the head. Amen? That's actually in verse 15, by the way. We need that. Every member in the body needs to grow up into the head. But out from the head, every member, some are the big members, they play the role of a joint of supply. But every single member, especially the small members, the each one parts. Let me tell you. Ideally, they would be perfected by these so-called gifts or bigger members. Then they turn around and they go to work. They operate. They function. A little bit here, a little bit there. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of them, they directly build up the body of Christ. So my question to you, even right now, I take a pause. Who is building the body today? You see, you're right, but that is objective. You should say, I am. No, I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm not. No, I am speaking the fact. The fact is until every member raise their hand and say, I am responsible. I am the builder of the body, or one of the builders of the body. In fact, I am a direct builder of the body. Would you all say that? Now, let me tell you, in 2,000 years of church history, maybe with the exception of the early church, or maybe a few instances here and there, by and large, this did not happen. And because of that, today, the body of Christ is still not built. 2,000 years later. That's a long time. If these tens of millions, I don't know, hundreds of millions of believers would all be operating according to Ephesians 4, I think the body would be built up already. But no, not only that did not happen, Satan, God's arch enemy, did everything he could through his subtle stratagems to bring back the Judaistic practices which God had ordained in the Old Testament and mixing them with human worldly methods and ways. You combine these things together, the result is a kind of what? A kind of system that was built up to replace this. That system is what we now call clergy-laity system. That means that amongst God's children, it is divided into two groups. The clergy, the clerical group, and the laity, meaning the, what? Layman. I don't even know where that word comes from. Lay, I guess, just meaning you don't do anything. You're a layman, right? Or something like that. But essentially, it is the vast majority of saints or believers in the body of Christ. They become the useless laymen. They are not gifted. They are the common people. They are illiterate spiritually. Even they're told that the Bible was shut to them, and they're told they cannot understand the Bible. They are just there to sit. They are just there to respond. They are just there passive. And eventually, Satan succeeded in annulling or killing the function of these parts. Only a few of these clerical class people who are so-called called to the holy service, people who have been educated in seminaries and Bible schools, people who have some so-called manifested function or gifts, they become these huge big members to replace the function of the common believers. Now, you say, this is no big deal. What's so bad about that? Let me tell you what's so bad about this. This is so bad that the Lord's body was never built up. God's purpose was never realized. I like to tell you, dear saints, and I speak this afternoon in very, very serious ways, that this is Satan's master stroke. Satan's master stroke in defeating God in terms of stopping or delaying the building up of Christ's organic body. So, we say, saints, we are the Lord's recovery, right? That's what we say. We are the Lord's recovery. I would like to ask, recovery of what? Well, we know it's a recovery of a number of things. But I will tell you this afternoon, mainly three things. Okay? Mainly. Number one, the Lord's recovery is the recovery of Christ as life to his believers. This is huge, of course. We have no time to talk about that. Day and night in the church life, what are we doing? We are here enjoying Christ to be our life. Amen. Am I right? Amen. We call on the Lord. We pray, read his word. We pray to him. We follow the anointing. We follow the Spirit. We do all these things. We have a training on all the offerings. All of these things is so that this Christ can be experienced by his people once again in a full way. I hope you have not forgotten the winter training. It's just 1 month ago. Remember the five offerings? My goodness. What Christians today would even dare touch this subject? They'll just say these are just Old Testament type things. The brethren will tell you they are types with some interpretation. Only we would get to the point to say that we need to experience these offerings as types of Christ. The absolute burnt offering, am I right? The balanced and beautiful and pure humanity meal offering. Oh, the sin offering. I still remember I gave one message on that. The trespass offering, am I right? So on. Eventually, the peace offering as the central offering as seen at the Lord's table even in our sacrifice to God for his satisfaction and our enjoyment of this wonderful Christ. So, that's the first recovery. The second recovery is the recovery of the church. The church. This has to do with the revelation of the church according to the Bible. And we don't have time. Oh my goodness, talk about Ephesians. There's seven aspects of the church. To recover the church as the body of Christ, the church as what? The new man, the church as the kingdom, the church as God's dwelling place, the church as Christ's counterpart, and eventually the church as that spiritual warrior. All of these things to recover the fact of this universal church, to recover even this matter of the local church, to recover the oneness of this church, which is a grand matter, the oneness of this church, of the body, to recover the organic reality, even to recover the practice of this church. This is huge, because this is God's eternal heart's desire, and that is our eternal purpose, and that is to have this church express himself and to defeat his enemy. Which church will consummate in the New Jerusalem? Now, saints, this is the second recovery that we're involved in, that you and I are involved in. The third one, let me tell you, now we come to this afternoon's burden. The third recovery, listen to me, is to recover the coordinated function of every single believer, every single brothers and sisters, every single member in the body, everyone. In 1948, 49, around that time, that was the time when the situation in China, the political situation, began to was changing quickly. And that is when the Chinese Communist was taking over the whole of China. And Brother Watchman Nee, at that time, his ministry, after 6 years, almost 6 years of hiatus, was restored. There was a resumption. You can find there is a book, The Resumption of his Watchman Nee's Ministry in those years. And he conducted a training in a place called Kuling in the south of China for no more than 2 years, maybe two or three terms of that training, with workers and full-timers. There he gave several lines of messages, and this is close to the end of his ministry, his public ministry, at least in an accessible way before the regime change. Amongst them, there's one book called Church Affairs. You can find that in the library, Church Affairs. And in that Church Affairs, among other things, there was a major, major point or burden. And that is the recovery of the function of every saint. Because he realized that without this, the body will never be built. And that even amongst us up to that point, we have not realized it. It was still one man speaking. It was still certain gifts doing most of the work. It was still many saints just there in a passive way. You know, today the all prophesying meeting, Brother Nee called it the 1 Corinthians 14 meeting, or the gift exercising meeting. You can go back, you can read it. But let me tell you, that was his burden. But that burden was not realized. Now, I like to fast forward to our brother Witness Lee. And by the way, I would like to tell you, these two brothers, one is WN, one is WL, right? Some people got confused. Nee, Lee, they all sound the same. These are two different brothers. They are just 2 years apart in age. But their relationship is like father and son. Brother Witness Lee was sent out of China by Brother Nee to Taiwan. And there, in 10 years or so, he continued this ministry in a faithful way, always with the view or the burden to carry out what was released by his senior co-worker, Watchman Nee. By the way, brothers and sisters, I would like to tell you, especially the younger ones, Brother Watchman Nee, when he was alive, had many so-called co-workers. In fact, a lot of people claim to be his co-workers, you know. But the fact of the matter is that Brother Nee had very few real co-workers. Very few. Maybe a handful. One time, several times, Brother Lee told us, and of course I was there listening, and some of the brothers, you might have heard, he said, at the end, there's only 2.5 persons that were one with Watchman Nee. Now, you think about that for a moment. At that time, there were hundreds of churches, thousands of saints, and many so-called co-workers of Watchman Nee. But actually, according to Brother Lee's feeling, only 2.5. Now, don't ask me who those 2.5 are, but I can tell you of the 2.5, one is Witness Lee himself. He, Brother Lee, after being sent out of China, I think it would not be too much to say that he had one burden in his heart. That is to continue and to work out the revelations that were received by Watchman Nee until the day he died. He never veered into other things. You say, well, Brother Lee talk a lot of things that are different than Watchman Nee. But if you know, if you study this you will realize that actually Brother Lee was just in every way continuing that burden, except he developed it further. And I will tell you, he developed those revelations firstly received by Brother Nee in a consummate way when he died. Now, but let us come back. I have limited time. Let's come back here. In the third point about what the recovery is of all saints functioning to build up the body of Christ. In 1980s, Brother Lee, many of you should know, went back to Taiwan for 5 years. 5 years. From 1984 to 1989. What did he do or accomplish in those 5 years? I will tell you, in spirit, those 5 years was his endeavor, his study, his exercise to work out Ephesians 4:12. And Ephesians 4:16. Today you call it the new way, the God-ordained way, whatever you want to call it. Let me tell you, underlying all of this was a burden to work out Ephesians 4:12 and 16. And that is to what? To recover the organic function of every brother and sister. Because until that happens, talking about the body being built up is just a slogan. The elders cannot build up the body, the church. The responsible brothers cannot build up the body. It's when all the saints in a local church rise up and become active and become operative by being vital, by being equipped, by being, listen, perfected. And by their kind of functioning, according to whatever measure the head has given to them, only they, when that happens, that church will be built up as part of the body of Christ. Now, I know I spent maybe even a little bit too long to give you this kind of a so-called background, but I feel it's important because I cannot assume that all of us are clear about this. I really cannot be. So some of you older saints, please forgive me. Seems like I'm repeating some of these things, but this is a great, great matter. And this training we're talking about has everything to do with this. Now I can tell you, this training that we are proposing to have for the churches in Northern California is a step, a tangible step in making this a reality. You say, whoa, boy, you are really arrogant to say that you can work out something that has not been worked out for 2,000 years. No, I'm not arrogant. I'm saying that I like to continue to push this ball. Amen. Up that hill. Amen. Until we cross over. Amen. Let's see. Let's see. What if, picture this, in Northern California, we have Lord's Day morning average 2,400 saints. If you do the phone list, you would have, I would say, at least 3,000 saints. Or something like that. Let's just use the 2,400 saints. If 2,400 saints in Northern California all would see this vision and all would what? Become so living and so vital in Christ and all would function according to the measure as a part of this body. I think a revival will come. I think a revival will come. You say, oh no, I'm so small. I don't have much. I'm very little. Well, that may be true. But have you looked at the ants? You know ants? Each ant can carry what? How much? By the way, you know, ants, small as they are, can carry things double their body weight. You know the ants? And you put millions of ants together, I tell you, they can build a mountain. So don't despise the little ants. I tell you, saints, the one big problem is the members of Christ's body despise their measure and their function because it seems so small. It's always the one talented member who is idle and full of excuses. The 2-talent, 5-talent, usually no problem. It's the small one. And yet the whole body is mostly populated by these 1-talented members. Now, let me continue. I would like to read to you now two other verses in 2 Corinthians. I'll just read it. Chapter 13 and verse, where am I? Oh, I had it. Now I lost it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Don't worry. I'll find it. Let me see. Okay. There it is. Right in front of me. How come I missed it? Okay. Verse 9 and 11. Okay. Verse 9. For we rejoice whenever we are weak and you are powerful. This also we pray for, your perfecting. Verse 11, finally, brothers, rejoice. Be perfected. Be comforted. Think the same thing. Be at peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Now, clearly in these two verses, as Paul's final words in this epistle before his salutation, he was burdened for these Corinthians perfecting. It's the single burden on his heart. And so the word perfect is in Ephesians 4:12 that we just read. To perfect the saints, to do the work of the ministry unto the building up of the body of Christ. Now let me give some very simple definition of what perfecting means. What is to be perfected? Okay, I'll just rely on these beautiful footnotes here that you can look at in your recovery version. This word perfect is a very comprehensive verb that means a lot of things. Let me read it to you. It means restoring. That means something broken, right? Something not functioning, out of order. Restoring. Repairing. Adjusting. Something kind of off. You need to adjust it so it works. Putting in order again. Mending, like a net. Mending. There's a hole here. Got amended. Perfectly joining together. Something got separated. The net got broken. Disconnected. So you need to join them together again. Thoroughly equipping. That means to equip you with some facility, with some tools, with some in the case of a soldier, with weaponry. You know what I mean? To do a job, you need to be equipped, you know. If I am a carpenter, I have this carpenter's belt with hammers and whatever else they have. This carpenter's belt. You need to be equipped. Otherwise, I summon you to come as a carpenter. You have nothing. Well, you can't do the job. Am I right? And don't think that to build the body, you don't need a belt. You need a spiritual belt. That means you need to be equipped. Otherwise, you don't know what you're doing, and you can cause trouble. Okay, well furnishing, the same idea. You need to do this particular project. You need to be furnished with the adequate resources and tools and so on. So thus, the meaning is perfecting, completing, and even educating. So the apostle were burdened for this. Now, there's another footnote, and I'm done on this thought. In verse 11, the word be perfected. Again, it says to be completed thoroughly, repair, adjusted, put in order, mended, perfectly joined together, restore. Same words, same verb. In Greek, this word is the root word for the word perfecting in Ephesians 4. All right? 4:12 and also in verse 9 here. So now you see this thought here. I like all the saints here to realize the need of being perfected. In fact, a kind of constant perfecting. So that you would not only know how to what? How to carry out the work of the ministry, but you can actually improve as you go on in that work by being further perfected. That's why we have trainings. You know the FTTA trainings? You know FTTA? How many here has been through the FTTA at least for one term? How about including those who go to MA, meaning middle age? Oh, okay. All right, that's good. You know, those who went there were perfected to some degree. Not entirely, but to some degree. Even if today they forgot half of what they learned there, which is quite likely, they still have been perfected. Even, allow me to say this, even if today they backslid a little bit, let's say, they still have been perfected to a certain degree. I would like to tell you, training makes a difference. Now, in the church life, in the Lord's recovery, this is why we have trainings. And of course, we have these summer and winter trainings and so on and so forth. But I'd like to tell you, those trainings in winter and summer biannual, they are one sort of a training. Those training mainly train us in life and in truth. All right? In vision and in revelation, which is very necessary. Very necessary. See, again, back to those five offerings. I'm still thinking about those offerings. I don't know about you. I'm still thinking about those offerings. You know, I gave the last message, right, on the meal offering as a type of the Lord's table. Remember that? Oh, after that, I got stirred up. You know, the speaker actually is the primary beneficiary of the message, not the listeners, it's the speaker. So I always get the best, right? So I was deeply inspired, so inspired that 2 weeks ago I gave a conference, actually a perfecting conference, to the Spanish-speaking saints, right? Brother Harry was there, I don't know whoever else was there down there. Huh? Some of the Spanish speakers were there. I gave four messages on the practice of the Lord's table. I don't know, Harry, what you felt from that. I was crazy. I was absolutely crazy. And as I spoke, I tell you, it's like my view of the Lord's table just not just expanded, but exploded. To the point that I coined a new term. I said, what I'm seeing now about the Lord's table is not just 30 minutes on Lord's Day. You know, that's the Lord's table. No. I said, our Lord's table today should permeate the entire church life and every day of our daily life. So much so that our Christian life should be a Lord's table Christian life, and our church life should be a Lord's table church life in its reality. Do you really think that 30 minutes a week remembering the Lord is all you need to do? The Lord would say, good job. At least you remember me for 30 minutes. There's 168 hours a week or something like that. What, is that right? Or waking hours? Well, you do the math. You gave me 30 minutes to remember me. Thank you very much. You think the Lord is really happy with you just to do the 30 minutes memory? Well, you say, well, do this in remembrance of me. So I'm going to do the 30 minutes. So I spoke, right, Harry, that there's another account, and that is the apostle. The Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. But the apostle said, do this unto the remembrance of me. Different. In remembrance of me refers to the purpose of breaking the bread and drinking the cup. Unto the remembrance of me means that after you eat and drink that cup, there's a result. And that result is the rest of the week. Every day, every moment, we would be in remembrance of him. Amen. By eating and drinking him. So I don't have the time, but I got crazy. I said the Lord's table needs a fantastic recovery. Amen. Even in our church life today. Amen. Well, why am I saying this? I'm just saying that I am being perfected, me, in this matter of the Lord's table. And I'll tell you, I have not even touched the matter of the worship of the Father. Huge, absolutely huge. I have here in my smartphone, 12 messages in subject that I put down that would help the saints in to upgrade their worship of the Father. How about that?
Amen.
So you need to be perfected.
Amen.
In your worship. Don't even think you know how to worship. You know the true worshipers that the Father is seeking today? Don't say you know how to. The Father is seeking such worshipers, but we are not to that level. Our worship is here. The Father wants it here, so we need to be perfected how to be the true worshipers of the Father God. So everything in our church life, we need perfecting. We need learning. We need more education. We need more adjusting. We need more mending. We need more equipping. Am I right? Then you will know how to do it. You don't even know the hymns in our hymnal. No wonder you don't know what hymns to call at the Lord's table. Or you call the wrong hymns. You have not learned. Okay. All right, dear saints. Now, we have the burden from the Lord that it is time. After these several years of the Lord in his wonderful grace, doing a work of renewal of the church life here in Northern California in these years, we feel that we have come to a point that we need to what? Have such a perfecting in a family way, because we're a family, to afford all the saints the opportunity to be perfected. And by doing this, that all the whole church life and everywhere would be what? Vastly upgraded and improved. So that we can what? We can actually be what? Building up the body here. Not just, listen, coming to meeting every week, just doing the routine, just coming to, we all know how to do that, right? I tell you, for survival, that's okay. Just to survive, just to come to the meeting and do whatever. Keep the schedule of the church and do that. But I am not happy just to survive. Are we on this earth just to barely survive? Is that the goal of Christian life? No, 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 no. We're here to build the body. And that is a much taller order. And therefore, besides survival, which is basic, we need more saints to be perfected and trained so that they can function. Oh, I tell you, when all the brothers and sisters will function, I could not even envision what that would look like. All I can say is that would be a revival. My preaching here won't bring forth the revival. Some speaking and messages here will not bring in the revival. But the perfected saints work doing the work of the New Testament ministry. That will bring forth the revival. So, let me use the remaining time to talk about a little bit about what are we going to do in this training. All right? Okay. First of all, on the content. Then I will talk a little bit about the how-tos in concept, because the details are still being fellowshipped and ironed out. I have here, in my hand, right here. Okay? And I'm not going to give it to you. Something called Basic Lessons on the Proper Church Life. Basic Lessons on the Proper Church Life. And here I have a syllabus of lessons. How many lessons? 36 lessons. But 36 lessons grouped together into 12 modules, you know, like a course, like a class, 12 modules, each module consisting of 3 lessons. And, of course, 36 lessons. There's no way that this kind of content will be so deep and so thorough. It's impossible. It's impossible. But the purpose of such contents is to give all the saints a uniform view and a comprehensive view of all the aspects, the important, critical aspects of our practice of the church life. Give you example. I'll just tell you the module subject. Module 1 is vital living. Module 2 is gospel preaching. You may say, whoa. Well, just listen. Module 3 is truth equipping. Module 4, shepherding. Now, this has all to do with every little member. Okay? Module 5, meeting in the God-ordained way. Module 6, experiencing life. Module 7, serving. That means serving in the church. Module 8, knowing the church. Module 9, church meetings. Well, you say you have meetings according to the God-ordained way, then you have church meetings. Well, just wait. You see, you don't know the difference, right? Module 10, relationships in the body. Very important. Many saints are just mixed up in these relationships. Module 11, various important matters. Okay, all right. Well, don't think this is just a simply catch-all. I tell you, underneath here are absolutely vital ingredients. that if we miss it, your church life will not be a pleasant one or a smooth one. You have to learn how to condition your church so that building can take place. Do you remember in the Old Testament, when they built, it was silence. Do you know that? No sound. Now, when they're in the mountain, they're getting the material, they may be pretty noisy. But when they built, it was no sound. Meaning, there is no what? Kind of what? Arguments. There's no strife. There's no disagreement. There's no such thing. They are just working in a smooth way. I'm just using that as an example. And then module 12, the Lord's recovery. You need to practice the church life. You need to know what the Lord's recovery is. Now, I don't get into these smaller points, but let me tell you, they have taken me much time to come up with this. In other words, in 36 lessons later, you will know the A to Z about the church life, a proper church life. And the emphasis is not just your knowledge of it, even though it begins there. The important thing is all of this invites practice. And when we all practice these things together, I will tell you, I can even guarantee you, our church life will take on a change. Today, we may be practicing the church life not according to the pattern on the mount. You know, the pattern Moses, the pattern on the mount. Let me give you another little story. 1950, Brother Nee and Brother Lee were together for the last time. Brother Nee went to Hong Kong, okay, and brought forth a revival. Those were days of revival. And he brought forth a revival. My grandmother was that. My grandmother was there. She was there with others, with Watchman Nee. And Brother Nee cabled Brother Lee, who was in Taiwan by that time, to come, to join him, these two men. I will tell you, this is like exceptional. You know, the church in Hong Kong is quite a blessed church. To have these two ministers, servants of God, to be in one place for even though a short period of time. And prior to Brother Lee's coming, Brother Nee has been there already, bringing forth this revival. You know, those were prevailing days, the spirit of consecration. And they have a slogan called handing over everything. And they literally hand over everything. I don't know how much to say about my grandmother. But she, like others, handed over everything. Her son, my uncle, worked to support her. You know, she was already older by that time, and gave her this and that. And she would turn around and give it all to the church. And it was not just her. It was other saints. They the money, not just the money, they turn over deeds of the house, mortgages of the house, deeds. They turn over all kinds of things that they own, so to speak, and lay it at the apostles' feet. You know, this is Acts, right? They did that. My, that it was not common times. It was a time of revival and absoluteness. And so Brother Lee came, and Brother Nee and Brother Lee share the platform, the speaking platform, for a period of time. Then Brother Nee left and went back to China, never to come out again. He died, right, eventually in China, leaving Brother Lee there to, according to Brother Nee's instruction, saying, witness, Brother witness, you just take charge of arranging all the services in the church in Hong Kong. And he left. He just took off. And Brother Lee did that. So today, the church in Hong Kong, actually, in that start, has everything to do with Witness Lee, not just Brother Lee. In their speaking together, I believe, if I'm correct, in the first time when they two share the platform, this is in Observatory Road. You know, there's a Observatory Road. Do you know this, George Dai? That hall, sorry, in the late 80s rebellion got took over by the dissenters. Still today. But it's still there. That's where I first heard Brother Nee as a junior higher. In that hall, Brother Witness Lee, me, the first time. And Brother Lee went first. He spoke first. And then Brother Nee. In this one meeting, the burden was on building according to the vision, the pattern from the mountain. That was the title. And you will find this today, perhaps, in the resumption messages. You may, you know that book called The Resumption Messages, Book 2. If you go to Volume 2, you may find it there. If not, this should reappear in the coming, up and coming, collected works of Witness Lee. That means what? That means what Brother Lee was saying is that there is a blueprint. There's a blueprint. There is a pattern. Just like the pattern given to Moses by Jehovah in the mountain. And Moses with the people was to what? Was to just build according to that. Now Moses got the vision. But Moses did not build. Do you know that? Moses went and found these builders. I don't even remember their names. Different trades, huh, of builders to come and build. But Moses gave them the pattern. And they work according to the pattern, down to the thread. You know? Down to the priest's robes, down to the thread, down to the hem. Every single detail was according to the pattern. One can suppose that that was in Brother Lee's heart, to carry out what Brother Nee has seen. You know that book called The Seer of the Divine Revelation? That was Brother Nee's biography by Brother Lee, The Seer of the Divine Revelation. I will tell you that Brother Lee, even though he himself was a seer in his own right, but that his life, whole life, was work out that pattern that was shown to him even by Watchman Nee. Even in the 80s, going back to Taiwan, was another step in working that out. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I will tell you today, testifying to you all, this little man here, this little servant of the Lord here, this little co-worker here, I will tell you, I have no other burden. I have no other burden. I will say this plainly to all of you, except to continue that line, to work out what Brother Lee, not just Brother Nee, he followed Brother, continued Brother Nee. I like to be the one of the brothers to continue to work out what Brother Lee has seen further. Ultimately, with this, and that is the building up of the body of Christ. This the world awaits to see. This the devil is still fighting for. And this is what God wants to see. And that's why we're here, in the Lord's recovery. So your little church life, here and there, even your Christian life, has a purpose, has a meaning, and that is to work this out. And it takes all of us to work this out. For this reason, my dear brothers and sisters, we have this feeling to use the ministry that we have received, basically the blueprint, right, that we have received, to conduct some family trainings to help to make this happen. Now, finally, with a very short time, I will tell you, in principle, how we plan to do this. It is a training, but I even want to even not use the training because the word training is a little scary. Many say training, not me. Woo, it's for the elite, right? It's for those strong, gung-ho people. Not for me. So I'm going to remove this term training. I would use the word perfecting, but I would use this word lessons, a course. And how we will conduct it in principle is that we will do it in a family style. Family style. We call it a family training or family perfecting, with a view that it can reach to as many saints as possible in our churches. Not just for a select few, but for all the saints. Some may get more of it, some may get less of it, that's okay. But as many saints as possible. So, it will not be me standing in front of thousands and give the training. All right? So don't look for that. It will be a group of brothers under some kind of perfecting and help and direction that will conduct this training in various localities. So we're not going to all go to South San Francisco. We are going to practice this in our localities, in our church life, We will integrate this into our church life. But we will still treat this in a special way. So we have today, I mentioned already, about 2,400, right? I just used that number, 2,400, 2,500 active saints who are regularly in our Lord's Day meeting. Okay, they may not be here every week, but we consider them active membership. I hope that half of those saints, that means 1,200, 1,300 of these saints can what? Can commit themselves to such a perfecting. But it will not stop with them. How about the other half? Right? I hope these first half will be so much into these things that in the different churches, they will find ways, whether in small group meetings, whether in Lord's Day morning, in another meeting, whether it is in some cases, maybe twos or threes, in some cases, all manners of situation according to the local condition of a local church would be able to pass on these things, this line of things, to all the brothers and sisters. How long will this be? This would be anywhere from a year to 18 months, all these 36 lessons. So in a reasonable pace. So they won't be too packed, neither will it be too kind of stretched out, all right, reasonably. And all the churches in Northern California, will follow the same schedule. But how this is carried out will be up to the local situation. All right. Now I basically presented the burden of such a training. Actually, some of the Spanish-speaking saints here can testify to you, we have carried out a preliminary form of this training already among the Spanish speakers. And it has become quite a hit. You know where? In South America. You know, about 10 years ago, we have a turmoil in South America, including Brazil and so on. I tell you, that was the time when they took some of this. Actually, it is not so full. It's half of this. And use it to help the saints. It became very much used by the Lord to anchor the saints, to establish the saints in these in the Latin world, if I may use that word. And this is the first time we will do it among the English speaking. And you are the guinea pigs. And you are the first to receive such a kind of a perfecting. Amen. How about this? Amen. And we will have a small group of brothers, 100, 150 or so, that they themselves will be trained to get into these things, and they will assist and facilitate this training to be carried out in all the churches. The sisters, you may come together to pursue this as a group of sisters. Senior saints, you can do that as senior brothers and sisters pursuing this. The languages, we will do it in different languages according so that it can reach all the brothers and sisters. So there would be a lot of flexibility there, but in the main, the church here, the churches here, will move as one. Okay, do I get a buy-in? I know you have a lot of questions, or we still have not given you so many details, but today's fellowship is just to present the big picture so that you can all consider the matter and you can all pray. Look, brothers and sisters, we're in the church life. But oftentimes, our church life is just stationary. Just doing the same thing, week after week. I say again, for survival, that's okay. Just do the same thing. But how about advancing? How about going forward? How about improving? Oh, how about sailing on? I wish among the saints in Northern California and the churches, there would be such a spirit of making progress. In fact, the apostle's word to Timothy was what? Practice these things that your progress may be manifest to all. Visible progress. Real progress over a period of time. Amen?
Amen?
I hope so. Okay, I hope you're amen. Even though it's a little weak to me, it's at least genuine. And as you pray more, your amen will become stronger.
Amen.
And then as we go on, month after month, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Amen.
Because we would be fulfilling the Lord's heart's desire.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm done. I'm 5 minutes over time. Now, I wish to open myself to you for some questions. Don't hit me with questions for details. It's being worked out. But you have some thought, you have some, you know, something that you want to be clear about, you feel free. Yeah, go.
So you mentioned training in advance.
Yeah.
Quick question about, you mentioned training in a family
yeah.
way. What do you mean by that?
Well, okay. It is a term that we are borrowing from Brother Lee himself. Okay? If you go to, what book is that? I think it is in the book 3 of the Elders Training Series, almost the last message there. This is 1984. He talked about this. In the context of helping the church to know the truth, he suggested what he called family training. Family training means it is different from Anaheim training, from the winter, summer, semi-annual training, you know, 10 days, that kind of a training. It occurs in the day-to-day church life, all right? And it is not so as strict and as regimented or demanding as that kind of a training. All right? So as we go on, we will fellowship more, but I'm giving you the feeling of it so that the old sister can participate, the young new one can participate, and all of us can participate, some doing the training, some receiving the training, okay, we carry this out in this way. And by doing this way, I think we can customize the training according to local conditions so that as many saints as possible can get into it. For example, a church might decide that for this period of time, we will use some of our home gatherings just to get into this, because you have a lot of people coming to that. I'm just saying as an example. Or you integrate that into your prayer meeting, or you integrate a review of this on some Lord's Day, or you have a retreat. Your church have a little retreat, and the whole retreat time is to get into this. They're just multifarious ways to carry this out. But we will still, this will still be a perfecting training, so that there will still be a time for some transfusion and some speaking and education to the saints. Well, look here. Well, you cannot look, but see, this is an outline of lesson one, and then we have many pages of salient excerpts, and then we have practical application. Even you have something you have to do to practice, and we have, of course, some references for you to get into it even more. Yeah. All right. I don't know. What else? Brothers, you have something to say, or? Wow, you are a very obedient group. Okay, we don't have a start date, but of course right now we're in the throes of GTCA, praise the Lord. I heard that there are 1,200 saints or something that have signed up to participate in the GTCA in these 2 weeks. Now, if at least that 1,200 saints can sign up for this training, whoa, I tell you. You know, for example, now, let's give an example. So we have GTCA, the Lord answer our prayer. We would have multiple contacts and new ones. Am I right? It will happen. Then how do we follow up with that? You see, the problem often is we have this activity and we got tons of names or whatever, and there's no follow-through. No follow-through. Aha, there's a whole module here on shepherding. Mm-hmm. On shepherding. Okay? And so on and so forth. You know, the genesis, the initial set of material, which is far smaller than this, was actually designed about 10 years ago for GTCA, when we started GTCA. That's where it started. But then we expanded it and we made it a lot more comprehensive today for all the saints. Yes? Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. How do you use it and how do you present it? That's another matter, right? But in terms of its usage and usefulness, I would say, oh my goodness, the whole church would be in this. Two different levels, right? That would be wonderful. Now, this is not to replace everything else, okay? Don't get me wrong. We still have the Holy Word. We still have all the things that should not disrupt the church life, but rather this should be integrated into the church life. Okay, if there's no question, I think we can have some prayers. For this, how about that?
Amen.
And then we can go a little early. Okay, amen. Amen.